gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org. Welcome, everybody. Today, we are talking about spring and early summer events and activities in Albuquerque and central New Mexico, the land of enchantment. And we are going to Bodker Mansion. It's a very historic inn in the Plaza region, the Old Town Plaza region of Albuquerque. It is right off of Route 66. They have amazing history. They have amazing food. They have a beautiful garden, which we're going to talk about today. And excited to have Kathy Hyatt. Her and her husband, Steve, own Bodker Mansion of Old Town. And you can go to bodker.com. And we also have Jake Dunlap, who's the assistant innkeeper. So welcome back, Kathy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much.
And welcome, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Doing good. I love that you're representing turquoise, you know, because is like the thing of Albuquerque, right? Is turquoise.
Always. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do a lot of people that come to the B&B go to the Turquoise Museum? Is that like a bucket list thing to do for rock hounds and, you know, lovers of gems and minerals?
I feel like it's pretty popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We talked about that before, Kathy, about the history of turquoise in the region and how a lot of us think we have turquoise and we don't. That's the other part of it, right? It's like that whole understanding. So that's why you go to the museum for it. But Kathy, it is National Gardening Month. And I really wanted to talk to you about your garden because I know you're a gardener, and you have a certified backyard wildlife habitat, right?
Yes, we do. That is through the National Wildlife Foundation. And basically, you can do it for practically any kind of wildlife you have. So we have lots of birds here. So you have to provide food, shelter, water, and nesting places. So we have some fairly large trees and trees and all that around us. So we have a lot of birds in our yard. Some people can do it on their patio or even on the balcony of their apartment building if they can do all those four things.
Mm. So tell everyone a little bit about the inn itself, because it is historic. And I would think that they're a little surprised that you have a little garden oasis in the middle of an old town, right?
Oh, actually, yeah, that's quite true. So the house was built in 1912, the same year as New Mexico statehood. And it's an American foursquare, which actually had a fairly brief period of popularity for architecture. It was between Victorian Queen Anne, and then after that was bungalows like Craftsman and Art Deco, which also had a very brief period in Albuquerque. So it's a different architecture from the normal architecture that you see here. We have quite a lot of what they call Pueblo Revival, which is made to mimic the Pueblos. So square buildings, flat roofs, portales on the front with the big timber posts, vigas that hold up the ceiling. So they can be quite beautiful and they last here. So we have a lot of mostly that type of architecture in New Mexico.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your rooms, because I know you've got the Route 66 room, which is going to be really popular I know it's popular, and Route 66 is like really popular, but this anniversary is coming up. So I think you're going to have a hard time having that open for people to even book anymore. It's going to be quite a year, right? When is that anniversary?
It's in 2026. So Route 66 was established in 1926. And I forget how many miles it is. It starts in Grant Park, basically in Chicago, and goes through eight states, even clipping off a like 12-mile corner of Kansas, and then ends up at Santa Monica Pier in California. So it became, when people started having available money, discretionary income, if you will, to travel, and then Route 66, and then the television program helped a lot too. But it became a road trip for people to go across the country and see, particularly from back east, landscape and culture and all of that that they'd never been exposed to before. And there were, of course, a lot of Route 66 motels that sprang up. Quite a few of them are still around in Route 66 landmarks. So those are being actually addressed, refurbished if they can. There's even some new building that is going on now that is made to look retro Route 66. So
Oh,
we have a motel in Albuquerque. So Central Avenue goes almost 20 miles all the way through Albuquerque, from the east end to the west end. And there was an old motel that had gotten a little tired. And right on Central Avenue, they've just refurbished the whole thing. And they built a, I haven't been in it yet. It's only just recently opened, sort of a, is it like a meeting center or something actually built onto the front corner of the property? And it's very retro. It looks like 1950s,
oh, cool.
1960s sort of thing. So they're doing things like that. We have a restaurant that has just refurbished its space and put a patio on the outside, and it looks sort of, it looks a little retro as well. And then they're working on refurbishing neon signs and doing things like putting plaques on landmarks and things. I think you can expect to see quite a bit of that going on in Albuquerque for the next couple of years. That they're going to be looking at everything along Route 66 and what is it that people want to know about? What is it they want to see? And they're going to start,
Cool.
basically putting together these, probably at the very least, a self-guided tour of things along Route 66 in Albuquerque.
And then isn't that neon museum opening up, or is it open yet?
It
The
is
neon
not
sign?
yet. It's a work in progress. They're still collecting signs. So it is, it's an interesting thing that the city of Albuquerque, so while the, while an old motel may have been torn down, the neon sign out front got left, and those are called orphan signs. And they want those to stay as a landmark. So what the city has done, is they have designated those as, city landmarks. So they can't be torn down. They need to be refurbished, and those are the ones that they're looking at. And I think for a while they even had a program where you could adopt an orphan sign and have the neon refurbished and read. And because it's neon is not inexpensive,
No,
so it
it's
can be pretty pricey to refurbish them and get them working again. We actually have a sign, a company. He's in Nob Hill. He's got a storefront, and he creates neon signs, but he also refurbishes them. It's called Absolutely Neon. It's really a fun place to go in. So there's that. And I know that probably they will be working on getting that neon sign museum up and running before all of these anniversary events happen and
Oh,
things.
wow.
And people really, I think there are going to be people coming to Albuquerque and all along Route 66 in droves. It's going to be a very big deal.
I know, and your room is going to be booked, 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 booked. It's such a cool travel themed, and it overlooks Route 66,
It does.
on
And
that.
that's if you see behind us, there is a private sitting room to this room.
Okay.
And it does overlook Central Avenue, which is Route 66, and there is a bus stop right out there, and it's very retro looking. So the city
Yeah.
is being observant, thinking
That's great.
ahead about what things need to look like along Central Avenue.
That's exciting. So let's talk about the rooms. We love your rooms. And you get treats when you check in too, by the way, people. This is, Nancy and I've stayed there. It was about 3 years ago, I think. Three? Something like that. And it's a delicious experience. And so I want to touch on the rooms. Do you guys have a favorite room? Jake, do you have a favorite room at the end?
I do have a favorite room at the inn. It's upstairs. It's our Franz Huening room. And specifically, it's my favorite because there's a clawfoot tub in the bathroom.
Ooh.
And there is
Ooh.
nothing like a clawfoot tub.
Yeah, see, this is the thing you get in bed and breakfast, those kind of specialty touches, and also
Yes.
the preservation of history, right? Because a lot of people toss those kind, but they're that's an experience when you travel to be able to be in a clawfoot tub, So I
Yeah.
like that.
Right. And we do have people who reserve specific rooms. So we have two rooms that have the clawfoot tubs. And then we have one room that actually has a jacuzzi tub. And there are people that reserve those rooms specifically because they want to have a big, deep soaking tub and just relax and enjoy themselves. And some people I've asked them and they said, oh, because my apartment, I only have a shower and I've always wanted a tub. So they come and they reserve the room with the big tub.
That's cool. That's, you know, what I was thinking about, because like New York City, the apartments and things are really tiny. In fact, I have a friend in New York City and he has a clawfoot tub in his bathroom. I mean, his kitchen, because because they're so small.
Some of the New York, apartments, you put it where you can.
I know. So he has a bathtub in his kitchen, but that's not what you're going to get at the end. But this is, you know, part of it is going to bed and breakfast is that relaxation time. And it's also National Stress Awareness Month. So this is a way to de-stress. Go soak in a tub. Don't be so stressed out. Go on a vacation, have someone else make breakfast for you. You can walk right outside the inn and go to a restaurant. You can go to attractions. You've got the botanical garden around the corner from you, which I love that botanical garden. It's got that Japanese garden, talking about like just chill, just chill out. So I love that. But Kathy, do you have a favorite room?
Oh, that's a tough one. Every time it's like choosing my favorite breakfast. And we can have different breakfasts and I'll say, oh, this is my favorite. And I'm like, wait, I say that about several others as well.
I hear that at least three times a week.
At least three times a week. This is my favorite breakfast. Oh, wait. So this room is a favorite of mine. I love the sitting room. It's just it because it looks out on the front yard and the leaves are almost out now. They've got little green buds and some leafing out. So in about a week, everything will be leafed out. It's sunny on the corner. We've got blinds. So when it gets real sunny and you want it a little bit, not quite so bright, you can tilt the blinds back. And in spite of being right on Central Avenue and the whole Route 66 thing, it's still fairly quiet. So
it's got like a little area where you have your dining table, like a private little table area, I remember. Or something.
Well, we've got a table in here. That's what we're sitting
That's
at.
That's what it is. Oh, okay.
We've got, it's a gate leg table. It's an antique. And we have that because we will often get people traveling on business and they kind of need just a nice, quiet, lovely room with a place to work on their laptop.
Yeah. You know, we don't always want to have the laptop on the lap, you know, when you're working.
No, I get that. It's just, and it's a pleasant view to sit here. Sometimes I wonder if it's a little, I would get distracted sitting here working.
Well, Nancy and I had wine time
looking
there.
Out the window.
I know we had wine time there at that table. Yeah.
Right.
That was our thing. It was like, okay, I'm coming downstairs for wine. And, cause it's a nice place to sit and your garden too, you know, that's the other part to me is this, having a little oasis area, but what is your favorite breakfast, your recent breakfast?
Oh, that's not the question I thought you were going to end up with in this conversation.
Well, you kept talking about favorite breakfast. So Jake, I'm going to ask you too. What's the favorite breakfast?
Here recently, it's been our blue cornmeal pancakes.
You stole mine.
Well, and we've updated the recipe.
Oh.
We're serving them now with a red chili maple syrup that we make in-house. And it
what?
Really enhances the flavor of the blue cornmeal and brings out the pinon nuts, and it's
now
a much
I want
richer
sausage too. Sausage with that.
It's yeah, it's cool. A really wonderful balance of flavors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's New Mexico. It's New Mexico, true.
Yeah,
we try to put elements of New Mexico flavor and spices and ingredients in a lot of the things that we do. But not all the time. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorites is it's an asparagus and goat cheese quiche. And we serve it with lemon poppy seed scones with lemon icing, which is wonderful. Oh. And then usually you make tomato salad with that. So cherry tomatoes with olive oil and a nice herb seasoning on it. Asparagus says spring to me. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, asparagus. It does, and a quiche
asparagus
too.
And lemon, both
asparagus
for some reason.
It was lemon
and lemon, yeah. So
and champagne
and champagne.
I'm like, let's have mimosas now. Can you do mimosas with a little lemon? Like
I haven't gone there yet.
No, I wouldn't think. No, mimosa could do a Bellini. Well, you have a lot of agriculture in Albuquerque, and that's something unique for people to know about. And that you do have wineries, you do have farms, you do have, it's a growing area. And a lot of times when people think about New Mexico or Arizona, they think it's one big desert, and it's not, like a
Yeah, it's
flat
not.
desert.
It's not. So we have a couple of things going for us. We're in the Rio Grande River Valley. So the Rio Grande actually starts just in southern Colorado and goes all the way through New Mexico. And it is the source of life. Everything here relies on water. So of course, farming developed in the Rio Grande River Valley. We also have a lot of dry crops. So there's a huge pecan industry, chili, of course, and also things like pinto beans and things like that. Speaking of wineries, okay, we have a lot of vineyards now all through the valley because vineyards, the grapes are like Mediterranean climate. So they want warm and sunny. They want some water, but they also want a little dryness. So we've got a lot of vineyards that are coming up. And since you were here, we now have two wine tasting rooms in Old Town.
Wow.
I don't think they
Very
were
cool.
here when you
No.
visited with us.
No.
So Old Town has gotten quite lively, believe it or not. It started off, it's a tourist area, but there are so many things to do around. Old Town is a little bit more historical in aspect,
I like it.
but it is a great place. But
There's art and
you need a good blend of all of that, though. So we've got the art and the jewelry and pottery and rugs and crafts and shops from Mexico with Mexican art and pottery as well. But the two wine tasting rooms, and we've got two tap rooms, and they've just brought a different element of activity to Old Town.
Nice.
So one of them, the Outpost, is a tap room, and they're on the second floor overlooking the plaza. So
Oh, wow, that's
it's
cool.
turned out to be a fabulous place where people can just sit and enjoy local beers and see what's going on the plaza. And of course, in April, we start having live entertainment out on the plaza.
Oh, that's so cool. I
Yeah,
love the
it is very,
plaza.
very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're going to have live music. So this is all steps from the inn again, which is so, if you've been driving a while, you don't want to do it again. You don't even want to get in a car sometimes. You just want to walk. And if
We
you're
are
going through the
literally
wine bar, that's probably a good thing. You
we are
can
literally
crawl home.
300 feet from the plaza. So you can park your car and leave it parked there your entire stay if you want to. Walk everywhere around Old Town. We've got great restaurants, things to do, and just never get back in your car if you don't want to.
That's cool. And then you do have all these natural areas for people to explore too. So if you're active, if you want to, there's bicycle trails, there's Petroglyphs National Monument. I always have to bring it up because I love that. You've got a lot of park areas and a ton of public art that are connected to the parks, and just there's public art. I mean, how many pieces do you think you have in Albuquerque? I
I don't
remember
know.
that map and I thought we could do it, but
I can't even
like
guess. And there's more since you've been
hundreds.
here. So there's, you can do walking tours of like the mural art downtown and public sculptures. And the city tries to put public art basically in every project that it does. So
Cool.
they've done some renovation along Second Street up. It parallels the Rio Grande River up through the North Valley. So they've put in a multi-use trail path up there along Second Street. And they've put some public art along there. And even when they build bridges and things, they don't just build a concrete bridge with just concrete embankments and leave it at that. There's always an element of art in it. So there are some that have like different colors of tile. So they'll tile the embankment and it's an art piece in different colors. There are some that have, what do I want to say? Like, not quite like sculptures, but depictions of animals and things in them. There's always, and even the Big Eye, the big interchange between Interstate 40 and Interstate 25, which is this very center of Albuquerque, even in that big overpass, they've got a turquoise blue line of trim that goes all the way around the edges of the railing. And it's amazing.
It's attention to detail too. It makes it feel special. You know what I
It
mean?
is.
That people care. And it's Jake, do you have any places to recommend for art lovers?
I'm involved a lot
Or
in the theater
events.
community here, which
Oh,
is
cool.
super vibrant. And
Really?
actually, in June, what's coming up is the big New Mexico Shakespeare Festival. And
Oh,
so
cool.
they're a publicly funded theater festival that happens at an outdoor venue here in Albuquerque.
Oh, cool.
And it's one of the, I believe there are 14 free Shakespeare festivals across the country, and we're one of the only ones west of the Mississippi.
Really?
And it happens, yeah, it happens at our New Mexico Veterans War Memorial, which is one, a really beautiful memorial. So if people haven't seen that, just to go see that memorial is really fantastic. But they have this wonderful outdoor amphitheater, and you get to see the Sandia Mountains in the background.
Oh.
And the shows always happen kind of just after sunset. It's a really beautiful setting
Oh.
for outdoor theater. People
Ah,
bring
that's
picnic
cool.
baskets and just really enjoy themselves. It's a lot of fun.
And then what about the theater scene in general in Albuquerque, aside from the festival, which sounds amazing?
It is massive here because the movie industry has moved in. So now we have all of these wonderful actors and directors and people who are spending time here. And we have theaters across town. We have musical, like a musical theater Southwest, which specifically just does musicals for their entire season. We have kind of experimental new wave theaters. We have improv groups that run around.
Oh,
We have
fun.
classic traditional theater. There's Opera Southwest as well, which, I mean, we have the Santa Fe Opera in Santa Fe, which is world-class opera. And then there's Opera Southwest here, which also does massive shows, and they do a really good job. So
Well, and then on top of it, isn't flamenco is a big deal, flamenco in Albuquerque.
yes, we have several
Magic.
major flamenco houses that do, and they range from doing stuff with kids to all the way up through, seniors and such. So there's no
Wow.
set age range. It's really
There
fantastic.
are, I think, at least three and maybe four major flamenco venues that do performances on a regular basis. We also have the National Institute of Flamenco here in Albuquerque. Albuquerque has the largest presence of flamenco outside of Spain. And
That's
they, for
amazing.
their flamenco festival, which takes place in June for about a week, a little over a week. I think it's like 2 weekends and then the week in between. They do bring in international flamenco performers for that festival. And they also, in addition to have the paid performances that people go to, they also do put on several free performances for the public. So they will have a performance here on the plaza
Wow.
on one of those evenings and have free flamenco. And the city itself also pays for live entertainment on the plaza, usually on
Cool.
Saturday, like Friday evenings and Saturday afternoons, and sometimes on Sundays, that they will pay to have entertainers come to perform on the gazebo in the plaza. And often enough, some of those are flamenco performances.
That is exciting to me. Now I want tapas and wine.
And we have some really good tapas
There, I
restaurants
was
here
just gonna
too.
say there's some really fantastic tapas bars here.
Really? Okay. Well,
Yeah.
see, we're getting better and better. Like, and food halls. We can talk about food halls. That's another thing that you have. It's a sawmill.
The one closest to us, there are several in Albuquerque. The one closest to
Yeah.
us is walking distance from here. It's less than a 10-minute walk, and it's called Sawmill Market.
Oh, I love it
And
there.
it's in a renovated lumber warehouse. And my husband's family knows that because they were in the construction business. And so they said, oh yeah, that was Paxton Lumber. And it was abandoned. It was vacant. I mean, it was owned, but it was vacant for a number of years. And they refurbished it, and it is a fantastic food hall. I don't know how many different vendors they've got in there, probably
There's a
20,
lot. I mean, there was
30
even people
something.
with
Oh yeah. I mean,
flowers. There was
everything.
crafters. There was a
Yeah,
beer bar, New
the
Mexico beer
sushi, all of
bar.
it.
There's a
Yeah.
great coffee bar. There's a pastry
A
place.
Peruvian place that we went to.
Yeah, there's a new taco place. One of my personal favorites is a place called Neko Neko, and it's Japanese, basically like a Japanese style waffle cone, except the cone is
Ooh.
fake. Is shaped, it's a waffle cone, but it's in the shape of a fish with a big open mouth, and that's what they put the ice cream in.
That's
So, and the second we
sounds good to
saw
me.
that, because we lived in northern Japan for almost 3 years, And the second we saw that, we just cracked up because we said, oh, that is so Japanese. But
That's
it's really
cool.
good. Yeah, it's really good. And of
I
course,
didn't know
they
that.
have, oh, they have like a margarita place there. They've got all kinds of foods, everything from noodle bar to pizza to, you name it.
I
They've got
like
all
it in there.
kinds of
It's
stuff.
like a theme park for foodies.
It is. It is. And it's a great place to go when you have a party of people and everybody wants something very different.
That's a really good point. Really, it's a good, and it's just fun. Like every time you go there, you can do something different, and that's what I liked about it. And if it's a 10-minute walk, you get to walk it off a little bit when you come back to the inn,
That's
You
true.
might need it. You might need that, So some other events, I think, Kathy, you're saying that there's a garden event or tour or festival
The
happening.
Corrales Garden Tour. So Corrales in like May, June time period, has a couple of big events. So they have a Corrales Art Studio Tour. I can't quite remember. I think that might be in May, because they have a lot of artists who live up in Corrales. And so they will open their studios for people to come in and
Oh,
watch them
cool.
actually doing their art, whether they're doing sculpture or pottery or weaving or painting or whatever. And they get to come in and see their studios and their art. And then, of course, the entire village of Corrales has things going on. So, the restaurants will be doing special things and all of that. It's just a kind of a big all village festival. And then they also have the Corrales Garden Tour. And I've been on three or four of those. So different homeowners in Corrales will open up their gardens and sign up to be on this garden tour. And there's usually about 8 or 10 of them. And so you can see everything from the wonderful English country garden look from somebody who has a place quite near the river and has access to an acequia with a lot of water and stuff, all the way up to a more native landscaping garden up on the west. They call it the Sand Hills above Corrales. It's in a drier climate, but the views from up there are spectacular. And so their garden is more about native landscaping and the plants that do well up there in full sun and all that. And the one I went to had some amazing art in their garden. So that's a really, it's like going in the old homes tour,
I like
which is
that
always
because
fascinating as well.
it's, yeah, because it gives you ideas and then you get to learn things like native plants and, because I think a lot of people think native plants aren't beautiful, but they are,
Oh,
and they
there's such a
say,
wide variety here, and they do quite well.
Yeah, you
So
don't
you
have to
just,
baby them except for the first 2 years, right?
yeah, the first couple of years, of course, maybe you have to give them more water and more attention than you would normally have to do once they get mature. But so the landscape beds outside of our front gates, I've put more of the native landscaping in there and plants that do well because it faces west and it's in full sun. So learning about which plants do really, really well in that kind of environment. And they're all starting to come up now. I planted some new ones last year, so I'm waiting to see what comes up and how well established they get. I did see some yarrow. I also watch what the city does in its landscaping. So when they renovate a street, when they have like a landscape planter down the middle of it, I pay attention to what they put in there because the city wants to minimize its own use of water, and they want to put in plants that will do well with minimal care. So I discovered yarrow. And it does quite well in full sun, and mine is already starting
It's
to bloom,
pretty.
so I'm very pleased with that. And
Oh, that's cool.
I put some new ones in last year, and they're coming up and doing quite well.
I love, the high desert, like where you are. So, there's like the red yuccas are my favorites. Those, because they're not like the big full yucca. I love the yucca plants, but or yucca, depending on how you want to say it. But there's the red ones, and they're like little red spikes, and they have like some of them have like a red exterior of the flower, and it's just pretty. It's pretty. I like
Oh,
them.
we have so
So
many varieties of all of those sorts of plants and
it's
agaves
cool.
as well.
And it's different if you come from back east. It's like a night and day difference. If you're coming from
It
back
is.
east or somewhere different, it's like, Because people don't think you can grow things, and that's so not true. And that's what I love about your botanical garden too. I mean, that's a cool place. It's a really fun way to. I would go there like in the morning as plants start to open up. That's a
Yes.
nice
And the
place to
butterfly garden
stroll.
will be open in the summer.
That's
So,
part.
I mean, you have to wait until the butterflies hatch and come out and stuff, but it's
It's
really
like, come
amazing to
on,
go
get on
into the
with it.
butterfly garden.
Yeah, that's cool. Cool.
We're at 5,000 feet too, which makes a good bit of difference. So at this higher elevation, we are colder in the winter than people would think. Although Albuquerque tends to not get much snow, we're still getting snow up in the mountains. We'll
It's
have a
amazing.
storm front that comes through and drops the temperature, and they'll get, 8 inches. We don't get that much in Albuquerque, but it does tend to make Albuquerque much more temperate. So things will grow here because we don't get quite so flaming hot as some people might think, and they do quite well here. So it's, I mean, we get into the high 90s in the summer, and we'll hit a few days over 100, but pretty much it's pretty reasonable. And you get up early, you do your yard work or whatever you're going to do outside, and you can even be out in the middle of the day, but stay in the shade is good. Don't do heavy exertion in the middle of the heat,
Sure.
and drink a lot of water.
And then if you drink a lot of water, you're allowed to have that extra wine. I'm just saying.
That's right.
I'm just going there. Okay, so I want to ask each of you. Okay, spring is in full gear and we're easing into summer, early summer. So between the two seasons, if you are a guest at the inn, what would you want to do for the day? Just what would be your idea of like a perfect day in Albuquerque? So let's start with you, Kathy. Perfect day, and you could go all the way till dinner time so you can shout out a restaurant or two.
Oh my. It depends on what it is your interests are. So some people like museums more, in which case I always recommend the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History. It actually owns an original Georgia O'Keeffe, which you look at it and you'll immediately know that that is the real deal. That's a real Georgia O'Keeffe. And amazing collection of art and history as well. And then the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center is also a museum, but it talks about the 19 pueblos of New Mexico, and has art and artifacts. And they have a wonderful restaurant called the Indian Pueblo Kitchen. So it's basically they try to do a lot of Native American foods. And it's also kind of a fusion of New Mexican food because we're all blended in together that way. But you will see some recipes with blue cornmeal, bison, the different squashes and beans and things like that. But it is a really fantastic restaurant. And they also have members of the different pueblos do dances on the weekends on Saturdays and Sundays. So there's that. The Sandia Peak Tram is
Oh, that's a
a
yeah.
spectacular view from Sandia Peak, and that's definitely worth the trip. So those are my three really iconic ones. And then depending on what your interest is, as far as you want to drive along Route 66 or you want to go to the Botanic Garden, is also a really good Botanic Garden is fantastic no matter what season you go, even in the middle of winter. A
Yep.
really good garden has good bones. So even though they might not have the flowers and the leaves and everything out that you would normally think about a botanic garden, it's the structure and all the things that they've got in there. And they've got a big the Japanese garden and the koi pond and the cactus houses and things like that. It's always great to go to the botanic garden. And then you can end your day with a fantastic meal at high noon. And I think they have the best margaritas in town, which is never a bad way to end your day. High noon has been there since 1974. It's family owned and they are amazing food. So that's one of my favorites.
Wow, that sounds like a busy day.
It
Flowers,
can be a busy day.
history,
There's a ton of stuff.
culture.
So on our
Yeah, that's a
website, we have itineraries.
yes.
And so for people who say, what can I do if I only have one day in Albuquerque? What can I do if I have 2 days, 3 days, 4 days? So if you stay here at the Bodker Mansion and make it your home base, you can start with whatever, the top iconic must-do things in Albuquerque. And then after that, you can branch out into things and you just get to more of a special interest thing. So Even if you're into quilting, we have fabric stores and quilt stores here, and you can indulge in Southwest looking fabrics, things like that. You can go on some walking tours, walking tours around some of the historic homes here close into the downtown area. I mean, we've got some fabulous historic houses, and all the way from, you know, the small New Mexico style, Pueblo style houses from the 1800s through Victorian and Queen Anne and Craftsman
That's
and all
amazing.
those.
I love that. I love that you have that diversity. What about you, Jake? What's your perfect day?
I would say starting with a nice hike in our East Mountains. Earlier, you
Okay.
mentioned the petroglyphs, which are out west of town, but our East Mountains, where the Sandia Tram is, has that hiking is second to none. You know, you can either take a nice easy trail, you can do a harder trail if you're more experienced, and it's a good blast. It's beautiful country, beautiful scenery, and you can get out and do something like that early in the morning. Maybe grab coffee for lunch somewhere because we have amazing local coffee shops. I mean,
Oh, okay.
just
Good.
any local coffee shop, I would highly recommend. Stay out of the Starbucks, go local.
Oh, well, yeah. We're not here. Yeah,
And
exactly.
then along Central, which is Route 66, there's a really fantastic selection of antique stores. And
Okay.
just different little like antique malls and different stores where you can find vintage furniture, you know, retro from the 50s. You can go back even farther. And
Cool.
that's one of my favorite things to do is because
It
I,
is. Appreciate
if,
Antiques Day today. Did you know that as we record?
I didn't know that, but I'm definitely
Hey.
a person that does. I don't, none of
Yeah.
my furniture is new. I don't do it. It's, you
No,
know, I
no.
love that old kind of lived in feel to it.
But
So,
you're keeping history alive with buying antiques, I
yes,
think. You're
absolutely.
keeping
Yeah. And then,
stories alive.
yeah. And then I'd probably cap off the evening with a good show somewhere. You know, we've got, like I said, we have fantastic local theater. We have Popejoy Hall at UNM, which brings in Broadway tours. A while back, they upgraded Popejoy Hall so that they could fit bigger shows in. As
Oh, wow.
And so we get fantastic Broadway tours here. We get The Lion King and Wicked and all those big shows.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
Oh, yeah.
going on in Albuquerque, man? It
Oh,
seems
it's
like it's
happening.
just but growing in a positive way. You know what I mean? When you hear about growth, people go, "Oh no." But I mean, like, it's adding to like quality of life for locals and then for visitors coming in too, that there's always something to see and do. Every time I go on the Visitor Bureau website, I'm like, I can't keep up. There's a
No.
ton. There's
Try
a
living
ton.
here. It's a lot.
Well, that's fun. That's fun. So everyone go to Bottger.com, Bottger, Bottger.com to make reservations and learn more and see those itineraries. But if you guys are booked, if everyone goes to nmbba.org, which is the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association, you do have some other inns in the neighborhood, right? In the big neighborhood. You've got one that's a farm style, and then one, the Sleepy Lobo Inn, which is historic inn as well. So there's other inns to check out, and you guys all work together too.
Right.
Yeah, that's really cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being back on the show.
All right, thanks for having us.
Nice to see you, Jake.
Nice to see you.
Take care, everyone.
All right, bye.
Gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org.